Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3, that which was our scripture reading, our earlier scripture reading. Genesis, chapter 3, and reading verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And our subject this morning is the first gospel sermon. The first gospel sermon, and this, of course, is an account in the third chapter of the book of Genesis that takes us right back to the beginning, of the Bible, to the beginning of creation. And these verses, whenever we look at these verses and this portion of the Bible, just to remind you, the book of Genesis is so vitally important, and many churches, many Christians, and perhaps a good number of you will have heard this, they will cast doubt upon these opening chapters of the book of Genesis, upon the account of God creating all things in 6 days, six literal days. They will scoff at these things. They will say that this is not true. They will add perhaps their own interpretation as to what these words actually mean. But we in this church, or the members of this church particularly, we believe what the Bible says. The Bible has declared very clearly that God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. That is very clear. It's clear in the English, it's clear in the Hebrew, it's very clear in the Hebrew, six literal days. If you believe something else, then you are imposing your own meaning on what is clearly there. You want to interpret it in your own way, and so you insert your own meaning upon these verses and upon these words. But it is so very clear. Six literal days, they're all numbered. They all have the evening and the morning. They are not thousands of years. And, well, I could speak at length about that. But we believe what the Bible says. God is able to do this, of course. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. If he wants to create all things in six literal days, he can do it. And we don't question that. So we believe in the account of creation, and we believe in Adam and Eve, our first parents, the first man, the first woman. We believe what the Bible teaches about Adam and Eve. We read, of course, that they sinned against God. They tragically sinned against God. So early on, they took of the fruit of the forbidden tree. You all know this, I'm sure, many of you. They took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So many trees were available to them in the Garden of Eden. So many that they could freely eat, and yet they took from the one that was forbidden. They disobeyed God, and everything changed. And we read this in our scripture reading. Everything changed. They tried to hide from God, but of course, you cannot possibly hide from God. And God calls them to himself so that they have to face the consequences of what they have done. And the Lord asks Adam, doesn't he? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And in verse 12, the man said, Adam said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Well, Adam, he blames the woman. This is so sad. Their relationship was meant to be perfect. God had provided Eve to Adam to be a help so that they would love one another, to have a perfect relationship. But you see, everything has changed now. Now Adam is blaming his wife. The relationship has changed. The relationship will always change. We read this later on in the chapter. Marriage, the relationship between man and wife, between woman and man, was meant to be harmonious. But because of the fall, because of all that has happened, there will now be disharmony. There will be strife. There will be a battle of the sexes. This is all because of the fall. And you see it here. Adam blames his wife. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So the Lord speaks to the woman, verse 13. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And well, the woman blames. Who does she blame? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The serpent that was in the Garden of Eden. And we read earlier in that chapter, the serpent did tempt Eve, did beguile Eve. And this is why she took of the fruit. This is why she ate of the fruit, because she was tempted by this serpent. And so then the serpent is brought to the Lord God. In verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Well, the serpent was to be cursed. The snake, well, you know that the snake is the only animal that slides on his belly, that slithers, has no limbs. Every other animal has limbs, has legs. But the serpent, well, this is the curse. This is what will happen to this particular animal. But then verse 15, and this is the verse that we're going to focus on. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And these are the words that I want to focus on. Many of the old commentators will always say that this is the first declaration of the gospel. This is the first announcement of the gospel in the whole Bible. This is the first place where you see salvation being announced. And it's a very strange place, isn't it? Because it's actually part of the curse. It's part of the curse upon the serpent. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That is quite unusual. The first announcement of the gospel is shown as part of the curse upon the serpent. And that in itself is intriguing. We could say quite a lot about that. But the point I should make, of course, the point I've neglected to make thus far, is that this is no ordinary serpent. Of course it's not. This is not a mere serpent or a mere animal. Some of you may be thinking, why is God punishing an animal, a mere animal? The serpent in this context, as many of you will know, was Satan. Satan was the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And we know this from elsewhere in the Bible, well, particularly in the book of Revelation, right at the end of the Bible. We read that Satan is that old serpent. It's Satan. Even the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians connects the serpent to Satan. So when we read this curse, this is a curse upon Satan, Satan himself, the devil who had tempted Eve. And so these words, they are so profound. But how do we see the gospel in this? Some of you will be wondering, where is the gospel actually in this? And well, I have to admit, this is a verse that I very often try to avoid. This is the gospel service. As many of you will know, every Lord's Day we preach the gospel. I've never preached from this verse, even though it's the first gospel declaration, the first gospel announcement. And the reason I haven't is because it's a tricky verse. It's quite difficult to, in some ways, to glean the gospel out of this, to extract the parts without tying ourselves up in knots. So I'm going to attempt, hopefully successfully, or in some way successful, to present the gospel from these words, but I'm going to have to do it very simply. I'm going to simplify everything. I'm not going to explain everything about this verse, but the gospel is most certainly there, and God willing, we will see it together. So this is the verse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, hostility between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. How can we see the gospel in this? Well, first of all, this verse speaks to us that there are two types of men. Two types of men. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Only two types of men. There is one human race. Again, this is what the creation account teaches us. We have all descended from the same person, from Adam. There is one human race. There are not many different races, many different groups. One human race. And within that one human race, there are only two types of people. There is the seed of the woman and there is the seed of the serpent. Or to put it another way, there are those who trust in the Lord and there are those who do not trust in the Lord. This is really the only two types of people in the world. Forget every other boundary. When God looks upon this world, how does he make the division? Does he split us up into all different groups like we like to do? No, he doesn't. There's only two types of people in this world. First, there are the Lord's people, those who trust in the Lord, trust in his word, trust in Christ. That's one group, the church, the whole body of believers. But then there is another group, those who are unsaved, those who are unbelievers, those who are the seed of the serpent, those who have been taken in by the serpent and the lies of the serpent, the lies of Satan. Those who were, well, just as Adam and Eve were taken in by the lies of the serpent, God told Adam, the day you eat of the tree, you will surely die. And what did Satan say to Eve? You shall not surely die. It was a lie. Of course it was. They would die. They didn't die immediately, of course not. Again, some people will say, why didn't Adam and Eve die immediately as soon as they ate of the fruit of the tree? Dear friends, when the Lord said, you will surely die, it was a term of certainty, not immediacy. God did not say you will immediately die. You will surely die. It was a message of certainty, and they did die. But Satan lied to them, and they were taken in by the lies of Satan. And so these are the two types of people in the world. There are so many people who were taken in by the lies of Satan, just as Adam and Eve were. The lie that there is no God, for example. So many believe that. The lie that there is no evidence for God. The lie that there is nothing after death. You don't have to seek God. You don't have to be religious because there's nothing after death. There's no heaven. There's no hell. This is the seed of the serpent. They believe all of these things, just like Adam and Eve did. The seed of the serpent, they're under the deception, under the lies of Satan. Don't worry about God. Just do what you want. Live for yourself. You can be your own God. Isn't that what the serpent said to Eve? If you take the fruit, you'll be like God. And this is what so many people, I'm the God of my life. I do what I want. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to go to church. I'm the God of my life. I make the rules. I decide what's right, what's wrong. This is the seed of the serpent. They're under the same deception. Is that you, dear friends? We have to make that distinction and pose the question. This is the gospel here, right here, Genesis 3:15. Which group are you in? Are you the seed of the serpent, or are you the seed of the woman? The seed of the woman is the godly line. But there is hostility. I should have mentioned this. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. So there is great hostility between the two groups. There are two groups of men, and there is great hostility between them. Well, I barely need to say anything about this. You go out, you preach the gospel as we have done when we go out on the streets around here. One of the first things you will meet when you preach the gospel is hostility. There is enmity between these two groups. I remember, well, I think I've told you already, when we went out, there was one day we went out to Peckham. As soon as I got on the microphone to preach, he came out and he shouted at us for the whole hour. Hostility. And why? Because he didn't know us. We were Christians. That's why. There is a hostility between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. This is what this verse is teaching us. And well, you know that Adam and Eve were to have their own example of this. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. What was their relationship like? There was hostility. Abel was righteous, of course, and Cain hated him. This is the illustration. There's going to be hostility right from the start, right from their children, Cain and Abel. Abel was righteous, trusted in the Lord. Cain hated him, put him to death. This is the hostility, and it's the same even now, right throughout history. Only two types of people in the world, two groups. And this is what we often say in gospel preaching. And the question is, what group are you in? So the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Now, let us, for our next step, focus on the seed of the woman. Because you can take the seed of the woman generally or specifically. Now, the seed of the woman, as I've already mentioned, generally are Christian people. That's all of us, if we trust in the Lord. We are the seed of the woman. But you can also apply it specifically. Who is specifically the seed of the woman? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy of Christ. This is how it has been interpreted. This is pointing to the Messiah, to the Savior. The seed of the woman is Christ and all those who are in Christ. That's the seed of the woman. And why is it put in these terms? Well, in some ways, it's ironic. It's a sense of divine irony. Satan, when he brought about the fall of man, he used the woman. He targeted Eve. Eve is the weaker of the two. I will target her, I will tempt her, and then man will fall. So in a sense, Satan brought about the fall of man through the woman. But this is how glorious God is. God will bring about the salvation of man through the woman. This is the wonderful irony of it all. This is how Christ would come into the world. Christ, as you all know, is the Son of God, the everlasting Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, equal with the Father. He came down from heaven to earth. But he didn't just appear on earth. He didn't just appear out of nowhere. He was born of a woman in the fullness of time. We know those words. He was born, he was made of a woman. And you will remember there was no man involved. It was the Virgin Mary. There was no man. She had never known a man. Of a woman, the seed of the woman. This is how Christ will come into the world. There is no natural procreation here. No man involved. It was the Virgin Mary gave birth to a baby boy. He was an infant babe, just as we are. You know, it stresses his humanity. Born of a woman, the seed of a woman. Yes, he's the Son of God, but it also emphasizes his humanity. He was born just like us. The seed of the woman, he's fully God, but he's fully man also. All of these things are presented to us, the seed of a woman, specifically speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was like us, and yet, of course, we have to add this, he was without sin. Without sin. We are not born without sin, dear friends. This is the curse of Adam. The serpent was cursed, yes, but Adam was also cursed. And what was the curse? That all of his descendants would be born under the curse. We are born sinners. We are not like Christ. Christ was born without sin. But we have inherited that curse from Adam. We are born sinners. We are born, in a sense, as the seed of the serpent. In order to be the seed of the woman, in order to be in Christ, we have to be born again. That's what the Bible says. So, dear friends, all of these things, I hope this is making sense and simple enough. The first gospel message, all of these things are communicated to us. But let us move on to the most intriguing part of this verse. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. This is the intriguing part. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is what God is saying to the serpent. The seed of the woman, the righteous seed, will bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. What does this mean? What on earth does this mean? Well, let me try and explain it in this way. In any conflict, in any struggle, in any fight, both parties will be wounded in some way. In any fight, both parties are going to get hurt. For example, a boxing match. If you take a boxing match, both fighters will get wounded. They will exchange blows. They will exchange punches. They will both be hurt. But of course, the important question is, who will deal the knockout blow? Who will win the fight? This is what is being presented here. There is a battle. There is enmity between two groups. Both will wound each other. Who will win? Who will deal the knockout blow? Will it be Satan? No, of course not. Satan, the seed of Satan, can only bruise the heel. If you are injured in the heel, well, it might hurt. You might limp for a little bit, but it's not serious. It's not life-threatening. If your heel gets hurt, that's not serious at all. But look at the seed of the woman. It shall bruise thy head. The seed of the woman, Christ, that's a mortal blow. If your head is crushed, then you will die. And the victory belongs to the righteous seed. This is how it will end. Christ has the victory. We see it even at the cross. You know, when Christ went to the cross, Satan must have thought, I've won. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to the cross. He's going to be crucified. His disciples have left him. Judas Iscariot has betrayed him. He's going to be gone. I have won. That's what Satan must have thought to himself. The Lord will die on the cross. That's it. But really, all he did was bruise his heel. He just bruised his heel. It was Christ who won, really. Christ who died and rose again. He scored that great victory. He reversed all the work of Satan. Satan in the Garden of Eden, he led man to death. Christ on the cross, he leads man to life because he dies in our place. That is how death is reversed. How can we reverse death? We're all heading for death. How can we have everlasting life? We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has reversed the work of Satan. Satan wanted us to die. He still wants us to die. Christ wants us to live. And we look to him. We believe in him. We know that he died for us. He died for my sin. I'm a sinner, a vile sinner. But Christ died on the cross for me so I can be forgiven. I can go to the Lord. I can dwell forever with God in heaven. You see, he crushed Satan's head on that day. His death on the cross and then his resurrection. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And now we may live in him. This is what it's all about. Satan can only bruise the heel. Christ has won that great victory. So, dear friends, there's more I could say, but I want to keep it simple. I hope that's been clear to you, but this is the message that is presented to us as my voice is about to fail. Well, let us end with this. Dear friends, one day, and we spoke about this last week, one day Christ will return, and then we will all see this. We will all see Christ crush the head of Satan. In this world, if you are Christian, Satan is always on your back. Satan always wants to tempt you. Satan always wants to discourage you. Satan always wants to accuse you. Satan will even raise up such hostility that our lives may even be taken. There are people, Christians around the world, who may even die this day because of Satan and because of the seed of the serpent. But dear friends, they cannot truly harm us. Even if death were to overtake us, we still have the victory. We go to be with the Lord, which is far better. There is nothing Satan can do that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He can only bruise our heel. May this be an encouragement to us as we go into the world. We know we'll be tempted. We know Satan will try and lie to us. Dear friends, in Christ we have the victory. Do you know the Lord? You must know him. You must repent. You must have faith. You must turn away from the lies of Satan, from the lies of this world, saying there is no God. You don't have to worry about it. Turn away from those things. Repent. Die to yourself. Satan will want you to think just about yourself. You are the God. You have to die to yourself and turn to the Lord. And then you will be victorious now in this life and forevermore over all the schemes of Satan. This is what we must do. So this is how we see the gospel in Genesis 3:15. I hope this has been clear. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, Christ will be victorious. Dear friends, are you on his side?